Technorama episode 509, insert show title here.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where is my seat located for the Star Trek versus Star Wars Monster Brawl?
Over there, in the media corner.
Sunday.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. Thank you. Come on in. The water's fine. Actually, the water's probably a little warm for this time of year. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate your time. I am Chuck Tomasi. Joining me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm hot. Really hot. I mean, summer's really kicking over here. I'm really hot.
Come to Phoenix.
Yeah. Where it's hot. Really hot.
Also joining us in the Binary Studio are the Two Gay Geeks.
I'm Keith.
I'm Ben.
And we are the Two Gay Geeks.
Duh.
Like clockwork.
Oh, dear.
I tickle myself.
I like to see that.
I tickle myself. You can't.
I tinkled myself.
Well, I don't want to see that. No. Don't want to see that.
Moving right along.
Yeah, okay. Works for me.
Sorry.
We'll get into
it's
the
already
feedback
in the toilet.
Wait, letters, coming up in this episode.
No, we don't do that anymore.
Oh, why don't write it?
Because it shows up on YouTube.
You know, I worked a whole 2 minutes on that.
2 minutes of your life you'll never get back. Shh, they're trying to sing.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh boy.
You talked right over the mail intro.
Well,
what?
Hey, if I was bad at a ball of time, I wasted on this show.
Last week we asked, what is the strangest thing you've seen on the internet? Rob Reel writes in, there was this podcast called Technorama. That was pretty strange.
Yeah, happened 12 years ago.
Listener Trampas Whiteman sends in a link to lingscars.com, LINGSCARS, if you want to play along at home.
Actually, I thought it said Ling Cigars or something
no,
like that.
No. This is a car dealership out of the UK that is probably one of the messiest websites I have ever seen. It is painful to watch.
Good Lord.
But it's like a train wreck. You can't take your eyes off of it for some reason.
It's got so many animated GIFs on it and video.
And they start singing in the background. Yeah. But the, yeah, it just, never mind. You go look at it.
Scott singing Grease Light? No.
Leader of the Pack, because that's the slogan at the top. Somewhere in that header, it says Leader of the Pack.
Well, I'm hearing it and listening to you speaking, so it's throwing my 50s music cues off.
Scott Long writes in. He says, this question.
Nice one, Scott.
And our new Patreon member, Katie Beaumont, says, Goatsy.
No.
What?
No.
No, no, what?
Oh, no.
She's not the newest. That.
No, not that one. I wanted to say that at the last show, but I
don't know what that is.
Oh, you know what? I'll educate you offline.
Is it not appropriate for family time?
No.
Oh.
No, it's not appropriate, or
wait,
no, it's not
Ben and
not appropriate.
Have not seen Goatsy either?
No.
What?
Okay, well I'll educate you guys.
Goatsy.
Huh?
I am not. Goatsy.
Goatsy.
Are you not?
Oh. Oh, I'm not paying attention.
No.
I was fiddling with my iPad.
That's not the guy who sings Somebody You I Used to Know, is it?
I apparently know more about the internet than you guys. Wow. That's,
yeah.
Whoa. I would have gone with the Dancing Baby.
Oh,
no.
Monkey Baby.
Well, that was TV.
Monkey Puppy Baby.
That was a Super Bowl commercial.
That's true. Yeah. It was.
Let's put it this way. It's one of those things that you see
it's on the
and
internet
you just
now.
Can't unsee.
Okay,
ever.
Then.
Ever. It'll scar you.
And
Goatsy?
Jack Mangan sent us a link to, I had to watch this one too. It was just, it's another one of those really weird things you just can't not watch. It was like some Chinese dancers trying to teach you English.
Oh, dear Lord.
In dance phrases. it's really odd. I'll try not to get YouTube bombed on this, but okay. I thought this was aerobics at first. And they just repeat this over and over. But then, okay, let's go on to the next phrase. It's, how dare you say such a thing to me? These are like, but then they get going a little further. You drive me crazy. Okay. Now they go to the public, and the three guys out in a parking lot are dancing to this. It just goes on and on, and there's multiple parts to this. There's another one, dating tips.
Okay. Oh, dear Lord.
I had
Lord.
To click through.
Okay.
Here's some of the phrases for dating tips. Do you have plans for tomorrow? Okay. Oh, well, they're not singing. Oh, I must hit. I hit mute. Okay. Will you go out with me tomorrow?
Yay.
Okay, and it just goes on. I mean, there are some that are more, I don't know if they're offensive or defensive, but they're aggressive. Like, get away from me.
Well, oh dear.
The question that I have is, why is it there?
I know. And why does it have 650,000 views?
Oh, my Lord.
Well, part of that is, you know, once you start, you can't stop, as you said. But I have a funny, I mean, again, it comes back to, why is it there? Obviously, there's got to be some kind of cultural demographic or audience that this appeals to.
Yeah.
So I'd like to know.
And what do the hand motions have to do with anything?
Well, I was watching it. Actually, a lot of it looked kind of, you know, very, very Asian. In motion, you know, it actually reminded me a little bit of Power Rangers, which Asian is Japanese.
Sure, and this Power may Rangers. Have been Japanese. I can't tell there was subtitles on the bottom and whatever.
It looked more Japanese.
Did it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I am not Asian literate all the best. I know if there's lots of circles, it might be Korean.
Yeah,
that's about it.
It's your fault that this happened. Dun, dun,
dun, dun. That's one of the phrases they do. It's your fault that this happened.
Oh dear, what?
Yeah, can we put this in context?
Again, there is a reason why this video exists. Yes. I'd like to know what that reason is.
There's a deeper story.
I'm sure there is. We just don't know what that deeper story is.
We have some voicemail as well. If I can click the right icon here. Okay, I have to play that again because it took me two or three times to figure out what it was saying.
I got the first part. Oh, is this Technorama Exterminate?
This might be better.
Is this Technorama Exterminate?
Hesnorama!
Yes, Hesnorama!
He has such a high quality version of that audio. I think we found the source.
Oh my God!
Oh my gosh.
It's a child. It's a baby Dalek. Aren't they cute?
Exterminate.
I love the little tremolo in the voice. Exterminate.
Yes. Hey, wait. I haven't seen the end of the recent season, so no spoilers.
Baby Daleks.
This is Pesnorama. Yeah.
It's like Baby Muppets. It's the next season of the show when they run out of story ideas. They just go to baby Daleks. Something.
And you get a mama Dalek and a daddy Dalek.
Oh.
Yeah. But they love each other very much.
And they love each other very much, and then the eye stalks go crazy.
And the little thing that goes like this.
We are not here to educate.
That's what the plunger's for.
Yeah.
Got it.
Oh, dear Lord.
I think it's history time. Not science. We're moving from science to history.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey.
Why?
Why? We gotta roll.
We didn't roll.
We didn't roll what? Oh, we gotta roll.
We don't know. We gotta roll for initiative.
Roll, die. Okay.
What do you mean we didn't roll what?
I thought you were saying something about that.
I got a 20.
Wow.
What'd you get, Craig?
11.
I got an 11 also. Roll again.
All right, I got 20.
I got a 20.
Finally, after having these dice for like 30 years, I finally got a 20.
Okay. I got a 12.
I got a 20.
13. Okay.
Craig. Okay, so it's between Craig and Keith. Keith
have to roll for...
roll off.
I think he won.
It's a 6 or a 9. It's a 6.
Oh, you win then. Keith goes first. Actually, Craig and I weren't supposed to roll again to get a new number. We should have rolled again to break that tie.
Yeah.
Okay, we screwed up. Okay.
Oh, well.
So never mind.
Where are we?
Pick an order.
Which way are we going? Why don't we start? Yeah. Why don't we start with
Keith?
Let's roll again.
I can start.
It'll go Keith, Ben, Craig, Chuck.
All right. So after Ben, cool. All right, got it.
You got that?
Donna. Okay.
Sort of Keith, Ben, Craig, Chuck. Here we go. Music Maestro. On this day in history for July 12, 2017, this is the 193rd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 172 days remaining in 2017.
It was on this day in 1493 that the Hartmann Schedel's Nuremberg Chronicle, one of the best documented early printed books, is published.
A Hartmann what?
Hartmann Schedel.
Oh, okay.
Nuremberg Chronicle.
Okay.
It's not a Gutenberg Bible.
Okay. And on July 12th, 1543, King Henry VIII of England marries his sixth and last wife, Catherine Parr, at Hampton Court Palace.
That same day didn't, huh?
I thought it went Ben, Keith, Craig, Chuck. I'm not used to being last. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, get used to it, big guy. That same date in 1561, St. Basil's Cathedral in Moscow is consecrated.
Consecrated.
Shh. Quiet, I'm concentrating over here.
It's concentrated.
Also today in 1776, Captain James Cook begins his third voyage.
It was on this date in...
1804.
You moved it on me.
I know.
It was on this date in 1804 that former United States Secretary of the Treasury Alexander Hamilton dies a day after being shot in a duel.
And Trelane has one of the guns, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Exactly.
And on July... I remember. And that's a commercial if anybody doesn't remember. And on July 12th in 1962, the Rolling Stones performed their first concert at the London's Marquee Club.
That same day in 1971, the Australian Aboriginal flag is flown for the first time.
Happy birthday goes out in this date, too. This is where the show gets fun, kids, if you haven't listened before. English civil engineer and of the 19th century, Thomas Hawksley, born on this date in 1807. He was particularly associated with water engineering projects.
Otto...
Shoshnack.
Shoshnack.
You did what in the sack?
Yeah. I don't whatever his name. The German paleoanthropologist was born 167 years ago today.
George Eastman, American entrepreneur, inventor, and photographer, was born on that same date in 1854.
Did you know that the Eastman House in Rochester, New York has a photography display?
I did not know that.
I never made it, even though I was like there 10 times. Anyway.
Sure. Albert Calamet. It's all right in my head.
Yeah. Albert Calamet.
The French scientist was born 154 years ago today. 154. Wow.
Born July 12th, 1863. German physicist specializing in optics, Paul Drude.
Margherita Pizzola Beloche. The Italian mathematician was born 138 years ago today.
Margherita Pizza.
Yeah.
Margherita Pizzola.
And American architect, systems theorist, author, designer, inventor, and futurist Buckminster Fuller was born 122 years ago today.
Would that be 12-D-2?
Yeah, 12-D-2.
Yeah, 12-D-2.
12-D-2.
American comedian actor Milton Berle was born on this date in 1908.
Wow. German engineer Fritz Leonhardt was born 108 years ago today.
Willis Lam, a name I can pronounce, American physicist, was born on this date in 1913.
And American chemist Elias James Corey, born on this date in 1928.
Van Cliburn. His first. Well, oh, Craig, your turn. Sorry.
Jumped Van Cliburn.
That's all right. Van Cliburn. I'm excited to say it just like Chucky is. American pianist and was born on the same date in 1934.
I always thought that was his last name. And you know, it was like Cher. He just needed one name and it was his last name was Van Cliburn. But apparently his first name is Van and his last name is Cliburn.
You figured that out, huh? All by yourself.
Yeah.
50, you're sharp
50
like
50 some spoon. Odd years.
Exactly.
You're sharp like a spoon.
There is no spoon. That's the problem.
Yeah. Right.
American actor, comedian, author, producer, musician, activist.
Criminal. Whoops. Sorry.
Oops. Bill Cosby was born on his date in 1937.
British rock singer Christine McVie is 74 today.
And American exercise instructor, Her Highness Richard Simmons. Born on this date in 1948.
Let's go, right, Chuck, ladies.
All right, Chuck, you're going to rock. You're going to talk over me on this one again?
No, you can have it.
Okay. Also born on the same date in 1951, actress Cheryl Ladd.
Rick Husband, American astronaut, was born on the same date in 1957.
American businesswoman, vice president, and managing director of Facebook EMEA, Joanna Shields. Baroness Shields is 50. What?
She's a baroness?
Today. Huh?
She's a baroness?
She's a baroness?
Joanna is a baroness?
I think that's her name. No, I don't know.
Joanna Shields,
that's
Baroness
the way
Shields?
It came out of Wikipedia.
Maybe it's Baroness hyphen Shields.
She got married.
Yeah. Anyway.
Listener birthdays. Today we have two on July 12th, Shadowbird 712 of Shadowbird Studios. And there's a URL.
Wow.
That's Jeremy. Sorry for the cheap plug out. Yes, that's Jeremy. And Francois. Yes, Bookaroo is also on the 12th. The 13th is
me.
Ben. Yay.
Yay.
Hippo birdie to you.
Lord Domicus on the 18th and Nikolai from Dancing with Elephants. There we are.
He should be graduating from college by now.
How did you make that happen?
I did the math, and I think Nikolai, he's the oldest. He was, what, 4 or 5 in 2006? Craig, wow. I think you're about right. He's driving now.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah, these podcast kids, they grow up so fast. Yeah. If you want to get your name on our birthday calendar, we'll give you a shout-out at the appropriate time of year. Go over to chuckchat.com/wiki, like it says. Right there. That's my Grant Pachoco impersonation.
Right there. Hey, by the way,
two fingers.
What? You know, we mentioned Richard Simmons up above. That video of him on Whose Line Is It Anyway has been floating around Facebook the last few days. And that is super hilarious if you haven't seen it.
I have not seen that.
Nope, not seen it.
Oh, y'all haven't seen that? Go.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, go look for Whose Line Is It Anyway, Richard Simmons. And yeah, it's. Speaks for itself. Man, do I just get on the internet more than you guys?
Well, I guess you do.
I have a job.
Yeah, I work.
I do too. I'm employed at the same place you are, Chuck.
I must have a harder job.
Yeah, because I don't get to surf the internet like you do.
Yeah.
All right. We have something that resonated very close to home when I saw this news story. It reminded me of when Craig and I went to the Computer History Museum in 2007. And we have video of Craig laying his hands on one of the first Google servers with a sign that clearly says, Do not touch. Yeah, that was nice. And
more of a suggestion than a warning.
One of the concierge said, you probably shouldn't touch that. Well, we got pictures this week. I'm sure everybody's seen it. Mike Pence laying his hand on a critical space flight hardware piece that says, Do not touch. And the memes went crazy. It's one says nuclear button, do not touch. One said the little metal face on there. No, there's a periodoli thing. There's a giant pregnant iguana. Touch my belly.
And a petting
a porcupine. This isn't the first time. Vice President Mike Pence made a big mistake.
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, my. If you're watching on the video stream.
dear.
Oh, my. Oh, jeez.
There is a dust storm warning till 8 p.m. in the Phoenix area tonight. So pull over, drive safe. If you're listening live and you're in Phoenix, don't get caught.
Yeah.
The original photo taken by Mike Brown of Reuters has gotten a life of its own online. Some people are simply making jokes about unwanted touching from Pence, while others accomplished more elaborate photoshops, like the person who added President Trump's infamous tennis photo. I did not have that one. Reddit even photoshopped. Yeah. No. The caption on the one where he's touching the man's rear end says moon landing.
Hey, by the way, in the comments, there's one of him touching, looks a little inappropriate, touching Chris Christie while he's on the beach.
Oh, that one must have come in since I read it. That's not good. So have fun with that. If you're watching live on the video stream, you'll
enjoy.
Hey, did they ever explain why he touched it?
Because he's an idiot.
What? No. Oh, I mean,
I'm that. Sorry. That was supposed to be my inner voice.
Yeah, right.
Did that come out on air?
My outer voice. I apologize.
I mean, did they just gloss over it? Did they ever say anything? I'm just curious about how they.
I never got an
quantified
answer.
Quantified that.
Oh, dear Lord.
What?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the next story.
Yes, let's go on to the next story. Keith, okay, you had the shock and amazement, so this one's all yours.
Well, we have to read the title.
Okay.
Mars might not be the potato utopia we hoped for.
Would that be potatopia?
Potatopia. Hey,
good thing we live here.
In Andy Weir's novel turned Matt Damon movie The Martian, the protagonist endures the harsh terrain of Mars by using his own...
fecal
to grow
matter
potatoes. Yes,
his own fertilizer.
Stool samples. Yes. His own stool samples.
Yes.
Well, he used other people's as well.
Yeah,
that's true.
Isn't that outlandish? Over the last few years, a NASA-backed project has been attempting to simulate Martian potato farming by growing taters in the Peruvian desert. While early results were promising, new results suggest that survival of any life on Mars, much less potato-growing humans, might be more difficult than we thought.
Oh.
I blame Matt Damon.
Yeah, him and his science logic.
Yep. Scientists at the University of Edinburgh tested how the bacteria Bacillus subtilis would...
Okay.
Bacillus subtilis? Okay.
Well, that's what it
says. Wasn't he a Roman emperor?
Yeah, I think he was.
He's the first cousin to Bigot's Dickot.
He would react.
He invented the flushing toilet. No, that was Sir Thomas P. Crapper.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Anyway, read on.
The bacteria Bacillus subtilis would react to the percolates, which were first discovered in Martian soil back in 2008.
Percolates like coffee.
Oh, no,
is he making coffee on board now?
that's how it says. It's perchlorates.
Now we're Greek.
Yeah. Pilates. that exercise, you know.
Right.
Their perchlorates are naturally occurring and sometimes man-made chemicals that are toxic to humans, but they're not always so bad for microbes. In fact, the Atacama Desert in Chile, some microbes use perchlorates in the soil as an energy source. On Mars, perchlorates allow water to exist in a briny liquid form, despite the plant's low atmospheric pressure. And I almost read that as from, because I can't spell the word from. It always comes out as form.
Mine too.
So I thought it was
a typo.
Occupational hazard.
Interestingly enough, the
Atacama Desert is the driest place in the world.
Exactly. I mean,
which is a good
until
analog.
This summer here in Phoenix.
Exactly.
Yeah, right outside of Chuck's back door.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so... Moving along, it says, President.
Yeah, that's exactly how it's written.
Deleterious to cells caused by the toxic cocktail of oxidants, iron oxides, perchlorates, and UV irradiation.
It might not work.
Yeah, I don't think so. Not all hope is lost, however. For one thing, the study...
The study only tested
one species of bacteria. It's unclear how others would fare under the same circumstance. Obviously, more research must be done before we give up on Martian potatopia.
We're going to try different bacteria like Bacillus rectilis.
There we go. I think that's what they were using.
So it's one in a million chance. So you're saying there is a chance.
There is a chance.
there is a very slim chance.
Darn. Don't run off to Mars with your potato farm quite yet, kids.
Yep. It's break time.
Take that asparagus bush.
It's break time. We need a break.
My sentiments exactly.
All right, we'll be right back with the Hex and Strange Stories and a few other cool things. Hang on.
helping to build the career you deserve. Take control of your career by listening to Career Opportunities, a twice-weekly podcast covering the challenges of building a career in the 21st century. Visit WelchWrite.com, WelchWrite.com. There you can explore over 300 shows, including exclusive interviews with workers, managers, and experts of all sorts. Subscribe to Career Opportunities today. It's free and you'll receive each new show automatically. Visit WelchWrite.com and start building the career you deserve today.
Hi, I'm Bill Farmer. You may know me as the voice behind Goofy, Pluto, and many other characters.
Howdy there. This is your old pal, Mr. Haney, and you're listening to Technorama with the, who are they with? Chuck and Craig.
Thank you, listener Max, or watching live on Facebook right now. He says, pronunciation is not required in technology.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We use three-letter acronyms everywhere.
Yeah.
We prove it everywhere.
We'll just call those plicorates, the peas. World peas.
I think we... thoughts of a sketch are still racing through my head around Bacillus subtilis.
Oh, yeah.
Craig, would you care to read the one about the fly?
Sure.
Help me. Help me.
That was scary how they just did that together and kind of had harmony, too.
It's very natural.
And with that, we're calling it a good night. See you later. All right. So this fly was trapped in a 3D printed block, which is like a recreation of a fossil, pretty much, by accident. So millions of years ago, unlucky animals settled in the sticky resin of trees, only to be trapped and preserved until humans found them millions of years later. Fossils of the distant future, however, will probably be a whole lot weirder than bugs and tree sap. An engineer 3D printed a honeycomb structure that was surprised to find a bug had trapped himself in the print, like an insect in amber. Forget Jurassic Park. One day, the new fossil will be the start of some quaternary park.
Mm-hmm. Is that what era we're in right now?
Is it
quaternary? Quaternary? I don't know.
Quaternary?
Quaternary?
Quaternary.
So the fly settled in during the print. Yeah. So the fly settled in during the print. Senior lecturer and engineer Effian Jewell from the Swansea University in Wales said in an email passed along to Gizmodo, which we're reading this from, by the way, Gizmodo. And he didn't know what attracted him or what he decided to take a break when he did, but it led to his undoing. And you can clearly see him. It looks like they just had a block of amber brought in from the field somewhere and,
just
you know,
plopped it right
there's a fly
there.
Stuck in the middle of it.
It was trapped right in the bee's honeycomb because it's hexagonal. Looks gorgeous. Actually, I kind of like that name better as Elfin Jewel. Sounds like something from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Elf and Jules.
Mm-hmm. Now, stop that.
Well, see, when you get a mommy and a daddy elf and they love each other very much.
Back I like to the your dogs. Jules, honey.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody's cussing. F and Jewel. Yeah.
We have another one about an archaeologist unearthing grave of giants in China. Researchers in China have uncovered a skeletal. Yes. Yes.
I'm sorry. It looks like he's holding a CD.
Well, that's what one of the commenters said.
That's the
said.
Whole point.
He's a time traveler. He's got a CD and an iPhone 6 on his lap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a time traveler. Because he wouldn't be a giant today. I'll tell you a little bit more about it. Researchers in China have uncovered skeletal remains of an unusual tall group of individuals who lived in China's Shandong province. Oh, I get this story? Oh, lucky me.
Yay.
There was much rejoicing.
Yeah.
Some 5,000 years ago, with some reaching heights of well over 6 feet, these Neolithic humans were a sign of things to come. As reported in Xinhua, an archaeological dig in Zhaojia village in Jinan City's Zhangqi District has unearthed one... I'm working on it.
Hey, karma's a bitch, isn't it?
So Keith should have had this one because he actually knows some Chinese pronunciations.
It's Zhaojia and Zhangqi.
It's all yours, man. Take over.
Zhangqi.
It's all yours.
Yep.
Run with
Go
it.
Ahead. You're past the bad stuff.
The bad's the bad. Okay. Unearthed 104 houses, 205 graves, wow, and 20 sacrificial pits. Mm. Pottery and various jade items were also uncovered. The late Neolithic site dates back to the time when the Yellow River Valley was inhabited by the Longshan culture, also known as the Black Pottery culture, who thrived in the area from around 3000 to 1900 BC. The archaeological dig, which began last year, is being led by the University of Shandong. Significantly, an analysis of skeletal remains found at the site suggests these ancient folk were freakishly tall, and many individuals measuring 5 feet 11 and above.
Wow.
Xinhua. Is that closer?
Yeah.
Okay, we can just dub in Keith's pronunciation. Although the paper does not report how many individuals were excavated or their gender breakdown, the tallest individual, a male, is measured at 6 feet 3 inches. Wow. That's like almost 2 meters for non-US people. To the neighboring contemporaries, the Longshan people likely appeared as veritable giants. Typical Neolithic males measure around 5 feet 5 inches and females around 5'1", according to one study. Their unusual height was probably the consequence of both genetics and environment. In fact, height remains a defining characteristic of people living in the province today. In 2015, the average height of an 18-year-old Shandong man was 5 foot 9 inches. So who was that basketball player a few years ago? Lao Ming?
Yeah, it was something.
Ming Lao?
Ming.
He was a tall individual. Where was he from?
I don't know.
I'm not a fan of basketball. He was from China.
You're talking about Yao Ming.
That's it.
Yeah, Yao Ming.
Yes.
He was from China.
I know.
He was 7'6".
Jeez.
Yeah. I wonder if he's related to these guys or if there's some ancestry that. Anyway, just a
wonder. By the way, just so you know, he's very tall. He's 311 pounds.
Wow. But he looks good on him. Because he's tall.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got room to put it on, but crying out loud, that's a lot.
Foot and a half taller than me.
325 pounds.
Wow.
So pretty cool stuff. We want to give a shout out to the chat room. Who's online right now? We got John Miller Jr.
Let's see.
Craig, I can't see everybody.
Max Personnel.
Yes.
Presnell.
Oh, Max. He is one of my best friends. Max Presnell.
Okay.
Really?
Hey, yes.
He's the one that said pronunciation doesn't matter.
Max was the one who said that?
Yeah.
Max, you know better than that.
And our old buddy Clinton Alvord.
All righty. Is that all you see that are chatting? It's hard to tell on Facebook.
Those are the ones that are chatting.
Okay. Because people have been coming and going while we were talking. So we should tell them to drop a note.
It's just a shout out to the chat room. This is a short show.
Hey, wait a minute, watching now.
Something to talk about.
Oh, my gosh.
It's been 32 minutes.
Hey, my neighbor, Patty Jarvis, is watching. Tim Elliott. Ashley Stingerwald. I know her.
Two more articles.
Oh, I see. Oh, there is more.
There's
stuff's more normally done at the end.
Funny how this show never really has the same format twice, isn't it?
Wow. Okay.
Hey, wonderful.
It's all to toy with your mind.
It's to mess with me.
That music means it's time to thank our patrons. Okay. Yes. Did you forget somebody?
I said, hey, there we go. The music.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the music in a while.
Thank you very much, Kyle Nishioka, Chris MC, Nick St. Gabriel, John Noble. Not that John Noble.
Oh, darn.
We're just going to have to change his name to Not That John Noble.
Baby.
Yes. Mike Wills, Alexis Duran, Amy Bowen, Steve Therian, Ben Vaughn. Thank you very much. Abner Braverman, longtime supporter of the show. I think he's one of our first. I know Kyle was right up there. We've got like a senior league going now. Kay Beaumont, our latest and greatest, most recentest Saturday morning
most
media.
Recentest?
Most recentest. Dennis Patnott. I'm making it up as I go, kid.
Yeah.
And Leon.
And there's space for two more.
There's space for a lot more. Come on, fill it in. Get over to patreon.com/technoromapodcast and support this show. You help keep things like software upgrades, hosting, and many, beer. Many other things. No, we pay the beer budget out of our own pocket. Sometimes we pay the hardware and software costs out of our own pocket. But it helps offset the cost, and we appreciate it very much. And in our undying gratitude, Craig and I have been working on some ideas for this year's Patreon supporter gift token. Mm. Along with, we should say, these are the people that get the special content no one else in the world gets. Ever. It is a special Patreon show that we record just for them.
Yeah, for the and Patreons. So you're welcome to it.
And if you are welcome to it, just for as little as $1 a show, you can have that content too. And we're working on some buttons.
So buttons,
like a little
button. Who's badges, got the buttons?
Kind of like just pins. Yes, button badges.
Collect them all.
Camera, please. Button, camera. Button. There.
Who's
this,
got the
this
button?
One says "I love podcast," which I got from.
Oh wow!
Dragon
it's
Con.
Blinding me.
Yes, it's well here. Look at it in IRL.
In real life.
Meet space.
It's really small now.
It looks, yeah, it's as big as my head. Pin that on your backpack.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Why
is
my backpack so heavy
people.
All of a sudden?
It's got Chuck's head
it's
hanging off of
Captain
it.
Captain America's shield hanging off the back of it.
Yeah. Is this damn pin made of vibranium?
Hey, are they made of vibranium? Are you going to get pins? I want one.
That would be cool if we had... Craig, I think we have an idea.
Vibranium pins.
Vibranium pin.
Captain America shield pin.
Yeah, like no one has ever done that one yet.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They wouldn't say Technorama on it.
Exactly.
Well, that's true.
I think we need to hurry up.
We'll steal that. We'll get them made before you do.
They're going to say Technorama on it?
No. Not at all.
Darn. Another idea out the window. We're going to have to learn to think quieter.
Yeah.
Turning to the media corner. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it?
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here in the media corner.
See, you didn't miss it this week.
I've missed it last week. And things.
Ben, have you read a story yet?
Not yet.
Oh, this would
oh, this
sound
would be
good
perfect
from you.
For you. Yeah.
Oh, well, there was, apparently a man was arrested after a Star Wars versus Star Trek feud.
Feud.
Feud. Feud, I say, when it became an actual fight.
Okay.
So, Star Wars versus Star Trek is a decades-long conflict that stretches across the galaxy, turning brother against brother, tearing lifelong friendships apart. In one case, it nearly turned lethal.
Oh, my Lord.
Jerome White, 23, was arrested last week in Oklahoma after a heated debate about Star Wars and Star Trek turned into a real assault. Lightsabers! No! Phasers!
I have to ask Jeremy about that.
Yeah.
That phasers are stupid.
Because he's in Oklahoma City.
Lightsabers aren't real! Well, according to Oklahoma City Police, didn't you know? According to Oklahoma City Police, Wyatt and his
friend. Should I interrupt you again?
Yes, please. They were hanging out in an apartment when the pair started chatting about which series was better. The friend, clearly flustered, told Wyatt, "You're just a trick," before walking back to his room.
Something tells me trick wasn't the word he used.
I don't think so, no.
Yeah.
White then
well,
reportedly...
it may have been. He may have picked him up somewhere, you know. You never know.
White then reportedly followed his friend back to his room and shoved him to the ground. After a quick back and forth between the two of them, White wrapped his arm around the guy's neck and started choking him.
You're supposed to Vulcan neck pinch him, you idiot.
Yeah, I know.
Stupid.
And if you're the Star Wars fan, you're supposed to use the Force to make him pass out. But as the man was about to pass out, he pulled out a pocket knife, leading White to let go. White was arrested for assault and battery. But why not pepper and... No, never mind.
Never mind.
Yeah. As well as other unrelated charges. Sadly, it's not clear which series each side was in favor of, or not what form original shows and film. Yes, because this is what's important.
This is the important stuff.
This is, we need to know.
We need to know this.
Yeah, I need to know.
Who was right?
Well, it's not. Are we talking next gen versus Star Wars animated show? I mean, I have to know these things.
Yeah,
this is important.
You know, 2 weeks ago they were also in a confrontation about Mac versus
PC. An update.
So. Just saying.
Yeah, well, there is an update. Ars Technica reached out to White's friend, Bradley Burke, who clarified that he was defending Star Wars while White preferred Star Trek. He was saying Spock was the and I was saying Yoda was the he said. Fill in the In addition, the trick comment stemmed from the two of them playing a Batman game on Xbox. During which White performed a particular trick and Burke wanted to know how he did it.
What?
What a bunch of nerds.
Good.
My Lord.
Ya.
Good friends.
Real.
I mean, we're pretty nerdy, but that takes the cake. Oh, dear.
Hey, maybe we could do some LARPing at Dragon Con like that. Get me! No. I'm white, and I'm Burke!
I'm going to bring a green pool noodle, and you can bring a phaser, and we'll see which one wins.
Yeah.
We were playing crabs against humidity earlier. And the pool noodle.
No. Yeah, the pool noodle.
Featured in.
I got to ask a question. So, of you guys here, do you really care Star Trek versus Star Wars, or are you just enjoying it all?
Seriously, I like them both. No, Babylon 5. Thank you.
That's the one.
If there was a mic to drop, he would have just done it.
Deep Space Nine or Babylon 5?
What?
Nothing.
No, I mean, seriously, there's room for all of them. I just can't quite figure out this macro thinking about... You know, you can one or the other. I mean,
open up your mind, dudes.
Expand your existence.
Expand your consciousness, man. Don't be Herbert.
Expand your space horizons.
I'm surprised. to be honest, I'm surprised the Star Trek Defender didn't call his friend Herbert.
Herbert. Yeah, hit him with the nerd references.
Yeah.
All righty.
You hit like a treble.
We have it.
Beautiful 3D renderings.
Donnie, you want to roll that playlist of the beautiful 3D renderings for our friends on Facebook, and we'll advise the listeners to go to the link in the show notes. There are some wonderful pictures that I am thinking these would make good phone wallpapers.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Awesome.
We've got a Bender. We've got a Hello Kitty. Mine is scrolling slower.
Oh, I like the Tetris.
We're just going to watch them on the screen up above.
Oh, wow. Lego.
I like the Lego apartment. That one's kind of classy, cool. too.
Yeah. Ooh, the mushroom.
That's the one that got me thinking about the wallpaper was the Mario mushroom.
Coca-Cola can.
The Coke can. And some of these are turned into shelters. Many of them are turned into shelters.
I like the whole dystopia feel to it.
Yeah. Like
the Happy Meal box is kind of sad looking. Yeah.
I thought the Space Invader was made up of leftover Wall-Es.
Oh, that's cool.
Not so happy meal. And there's a tomato can outside, too.
I like that one.
It's not a PlayStation, though. It's a space station, if you look at the color. The capacitor city.
Far out.
Which is neat.
Game Boy, I think.
Yep. Yeah, and it's kind of moss-covered and greenery overgrown. A lot of neat stuff.
I would love to have some small posters of these and a bunch of them on the wall.
Kitty!
Yeah, that's what made me think of Tetris. Phone wallpapers.
Tetris
cool. looks like the Mayans made it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of cool stuff.
And by the way, the Game Boy, I like it looks like a pool right around the top. Maybe a nuclear pool.
And finally, Craig, you saw a recent movie.
Well, actually, Ben and Keith did also.
Yes.
So I'm the odd man out.
Spider pig.
You mean, you got to get on top of these things, man.
I just whatever a spider pig does. Can he swing from a web?
No, we can't.
He's a pig.
Spider pig.
Spider pig.
Oh, there we go.
That's it.
Anyway, so I saw Spider-Man. I thought it was
great. What'd you think? Because there was a lot of trepidation about this. Like, another Spider-Man movie.
That's all gone.
Was there trepidation? Seriously?
Not really.
I heard that from a number of people sitting around us when we were at Wonder Woman. Oh, they played the trailer.
There was trepidation about a Spider-Man movie after how successful his appearance was in Civil War.
That's what I said, too.
Exactly.
And even on Facebook, some people were saying, I kind of gave up after Tobey Maguire number 2.
Oh, dear.
Oh, really? They gave up that soon?
Yeah.
Wow.
So they're not.
Actually, I thought I kind of liked Tobey Maguire, except for the last movie.
Well, the third one was a real turd. No, that movie was awful.
Staying Alive.
Oh, please don't.
But I did enjoy Tobey Maguire, especially in the first one and so much so in the second one. I liked him. I thought he was a great
deal. I thought he was excellent.
So I'm going off of the trailer, so I'm not going to give any spoilers. Did the tech play into it, or did it overshadow it, or was it a good story in and of itself?
I thought that it added to the story, because there was a few times it was like, no, he was trying not to do the wrong thing with the suit. So, I think it was, I thought it played along
the
fine.
The tech did not overshadow at all.
Okay. It was a great film, and I think they really captured a teenager, Peter Parker, as a teenager.
Right.
And truly got that. It was great. I liked it.
Yeah. I saw a breakdown of the Marvel movies, and they were talking about, okay, you got Iron Man and stuff like that, and then they got different types of movies. So you got the Ant-Man heist movie, you got the action movies, all that kind of stuff, the political thriller with Captain America, and then you got this teenage movie, which, you know, they say teenage movie, there's a lot of callbacks to other movies that you would be familiar with that you go, oh, okay, it's pretty cool how they played it out. And so I think it fits right in.
Mm-hmm,
honestly. Yeah. And it's enough to be fresh.
Yeah. And they also didn't have to relitigate Uncle Ben's death again. So,
oh, you know, I know.
Yeah. We didn't have to go through any of that. And what I enjoyed a great deal is that, as Craig points out, you know, you've had so many of these other films that each has had their sort of their own kind of identity and theme. And this one really is about a kid in high school.
Yeah.
And now he's got to find some way to integrate these two parts of his life, being a high school student and being a superhero, which he really, really loves. And he's got to find a way to kind of bring that together and become, you know, a functioning human being.
Right. Well, that's sort of the story we've seen out of a lot of the Marvel Universe, right, is, you know, I have a day job, remember? And at night I'm going out and solving crimes and killing bad guys. And,
right. But they really don't focus on the civilian aspect of it. And here, Peter, he's a teenager. I mean, when as an adult, that's one thing, because they're completely legally independent. He's a high school student. He has responsibilities as a student. And the fact that he's completely dodging them all for the sake of that next superhero adventure shows a certain reckless abandon on his part. And that's the meat of the story.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really good. And I thought the Vulture was good.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton.
Great job.
That looked interesting as well.
Yeah, the interesting thing about that is he's one of the few villains to survive a Marvel film. And he's one of those villains that's not a sociopath. He is just misguided and, you know,
right,
self-serving.
From the trailer, he said you could almost empathize with the guy and go, you know, he's right.
That was the whole point. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And they did a good job pulling that off. Cause you go, when they first introduce him, of course, no spoilers here, but they first introduce him, you kind of see where he's coming from.
Right.
And then you can see where it goes from there and why he's, you know, upset with Peter or whoever is in his way kind of thing.
What did you think of Tom Holland?
I thought he did a great job.
Oh,
I thought he was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. What role did he play?
He was Peter Parker. Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Spider-Man.
No, I thought he was great.
He's still new to my genre.
I did.
Well, by now they should be.
This, but I read that he asked to kind of research the role a little bit. He asked to go sit in on high school because he's from the UK. Their schools are different than they are here.
Right.
So he went and sat in an American high school.
Actually,
he got
drafted into that. He didn't know they were going to put him into a high school for several days. He just got thrown in there. He didn't ask.
In the UK, they get owls.
You know, he simply said, he made reference to it would be that it might help for him to understand what a high school is all about. But he was just simply asking for some kind of verbal feedback. Next thing he knows, he gets thrown into a New York high school, and it was very disturbing for him.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I also liked, Tony Stark it was a part of the story, but he wasn't there enough to like overshadow the whole thing. And so that was good.
The moments that he needed to show up.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But it felt organic as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So which just kind of hints at the greater universe that Marvel has been painting with these movies. And that's the beauty of it.
Would it be a spoiler alert to ask, why is Tony Stark helping Spider-Man?
Well, you kind of get that from...
You got some of that from Civil War. Yeah.
You get that from Civil War.
This movie picks up right at the end, during Civil War is when it starts.
Exactly. Yeah, when he picks him up.
So we've already got that...
Why did he pick him up? I'm trying to remember. I know he went there and he recruited him, but why?
Because he needed a wild card.
Right.
Because
keep in mind, Tony has been in bed with the government, so he's able to track all these people that have powers and stuff, and he's probably seen Peter doing his thing.
Well, that too, but I think he needed a complete wild card in all this because he knew this was going to be Avengers versus Avengers, and he needed something in there that was going to completely throw the entire game off. What Tony didn't expect is that they were going to recruit Ant-Man at the same time. You know, the other side, we get Ant-Man.
Right, exactly.
So it kind of balanced the scales at the end
of
the day.
Yeah.
But that's why Tony got Spider-Man, because he needed something that was just going to completely throw things in their favor.
Oh, and speaking of all these tie-ins and stuff to the other movies, this is obviously no spoiler, but then I stop me if you've heard this before. Back in Iron Man 2, you know, when the soldiers were attacking the robot soldiers and the little kid with the Iron Man outfit raises his hand, and Tony flies in.
That was Peter Parker.
That's Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm. That was confirmed by Kevin Feige at Marvel. That young boy that almost died in Iron Man 2 was Peter Parker.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's another little...
I'm going to go back and watch.
Stark Expo.
So it's furthering the connection between Parker and Tony.
Okay.
Yeah. And Tony.
So the theory is that father Ben figure. Took him to the Stark Expo, and Ben's dead.
Yeah.
There we go.
With great power comes great power bills.
Yes.
Learn from my previous mistakes, son. So nephew. All right. That I appreciate the input. I'm very excited to go see it now.
It's a very good movie. Go see it
tonight.
And as we tell everybody, do not leave the theater until the ushers are actually forcing you out.
Until they're sweeping you up.
Do not leave.
From the very end.
You have to stay all the way through.
Okay. All the way through.
Because we got to the theater early last night and the movie was still playing. And the moment the credits start rolling, people started walking out. I thought,
never do that in a Marvel movie.
We don't ever do that. I mean,
we don't do it for any movies now.
We talked about that on our show. We don't ever do it on any movie at this point because we have become supporters of people that are making films.
Yep.
And it is a disservice to the people that make the films to leave before the credits roll. Because,
even if we don't see all the names, at least by sitting through it, we're showing them respect.
Exactly.
Well, also, who's got just a couple minutes to sit there and wait for the credits for one, and you don't have to step over everybody to try and get out of the theater.
Exactly.
Just wait a few minutes, chill out, and then walk out.
It's called patience.
And more production companies are adding stingers.
And Captain America has something to say about patience.
And you'll miss Thanos doing his dance.
Yeah.
He's doing the little baby dance.
Or Avengers eating shawarma. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
You know, or actually, it all. I remember.
Tastes like crap.
I remember during the first Iron Man film, there were people who were beginning to ready to leave, and I'd already seen Iron Man once, and I'm like, no, you have to stay. Please, trust me. Stay in your seats. You're not going to regret this. And then Nick Fury shows up, and he gives his little speech about the Avengers Initiative, and the people are looking at me like, "Oh, thank you. I didn't know this kind of thing was happening in movies."
It is now the end of Pixar movies.
What's the Avengers Initiative, Ben? Actually, what was the? So now Harrison and I, whenever we're going to a movie,
Harrison
a Marvel
Ford?
Movie, especially, it's like, okay, how many end credits are there? It says two. Okay.
Yeah, unlike the dozen that were in at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, my Lord.
Hey, those were fun, though.
They were fun. I'm not knocking them. I was just amazed at the number of them.
Yeah. I haven't seen Guardians 2 yet either.
Oh my God.
We got to do some double features to catch up.
You saw Wonder Woman, obviously.
I saw Wonder Woman, yes.
I am just dismayed. Okay, Geek Card, turn it over, please.
Yeah. No, I'm behind on my punch card. We just got to get it punched a little quicker.
Please tell me you've watched Sense8 now.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Well, I'm very happy that it's coming back.
Yes.
Go
ahead.
Blah, 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 blah. All right. The other thing that Kevin Feige said was all the post-credit clips that they do.
Yeah.
Before they were doing it as call forwards or callbacks to other movies. But now, since the movies are so popular, they're having more fun with the clips rather than them being called to something else.
Trolling the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guardians... two, it had so many of them, and a lot of them were jokes, you know, and stuff. And
only the last, the very, very last one was actually meant to be a call forward, but all the rest were just there for reasons of mirth.
Yeah.
Mirth.
Lafferty.
Yeah.
We know her.
Frankincense, mirth.
You know, the Dragon Riders of Mirth.
Yeah.
Oh, that.
Yeah. That. Oh, yeah.
The rats of Nimrod.
We're getting comments on that article that we ran 2 years ago. I told you about that. I had to turn off the Xena article. I had to
we were getting too many hits on our website.
I'm like, gee, many Christmas. Anyway. You're that trying to end the show.
Yeah, that takes us to the end of Spider-Man. That's all right. That's all right. Good discussion. Our question this week is Star Wars or Star Trek?
Babylon 5.
Just kidding. It's what two fictional characters would you pay to see fight?
Luke Skywalker and Captain Kirk.
Yeah. You stole my thunder. I was going to say the same thing.
Got to be quicker, Craig.
I know.
Helps be in the audience. Then you can smack them down, too.
Yeah. I want to see Jabba the Hutt fight Darth Vader. How about that? Oh, from the same genre.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Can't
have doesn't have to be. Just as two fictional characters.
Yeah.
That's true.
Gandalf and Darth Vader.
There we go. I don't know. I was thinking Gandalf and Magneto. Think about it.
Yeah. Mind blown.
That would be a great split.
Kind of meta there. Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to think of a Star Trek musician.
A Star Trek, musician?
Yeah.
Well, Spock.
Other than Spock. Who is also in the Way Data, to Eden?
Data plays... Data plays several instruments, but the one who's playing...
What's his name with the big flower?
Oh, I know.
Well, you're thinking Adam.
Not necessarily see them fight, but see them play together. So let's take Riker and his trombone with Sly Snoodle.
Yeah. Sly Snoodle.
Like
the Slice Noodle?
Are you talking like dueling banjos or something?
I never thought of that. That's pretty funny.
Slice had a noodle? I didn't know that. Where was she? That's too bad now. We'll have to ask Mike next time we see him.
Slice Noodle. And let's get out of here.
I got nothing.
Thank you for listening / watching. We appreciate your support. Thank you, Ben and Keith.
Oh, it was great fun.
Tell the wonderful listeners, viewers, where they can find you.
TGGeeks.com.
Yep. Very excellent. And you recorded today?
Yes, we did.
So there will be a
episode
show out tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning.
Yay. Tomorrow morning being Monday, the 13th. No,
well, yeah, Monday. 10th. Yeah.
10th.
4:05 a.m.
If you have any comments or suggestions or ideas about this show, call us on the listener line.
707-530-2428.
We'll also be posting the question of the week on Facebook. So if you follow the show, Technorama Podcast on Facebook, you'll get the announcement there. Also, when we're live, you get the thing that says, ding, Technorama is now live.
Ding.
Thanks, Craig.
Where's my ding?
Yeah, thank you.
Tell your friends about Technorama, and Craig, give me a binary high five.
101. Now I'm going to go play my Vulcan lute.